We really thank the Lord for this time of the conference.
Amen.
I don't know how you feel, but I feel very happy.
Yeah.
I feel that the Lord has been merciful to us, especially with the introduction. And just one thing, if we can get just one thing, that the Father can reveal the Son to us. Yeah, if we get that, I'm sure we are almost 95% done. If not 99. And yesterday was such an encouragement to me because the Father reveals Christ. And as he was revealing Christ, he was also revealing the King, who is Christ, and then the kingdom, which is the church. And the two of them can only go together. Today, most people see just half of the vision. Either they see Christ or they see part of the kingdom. But we need to pray, each one of us, that the Father will reveal the kingdom to us and also reveal the King who is in the kingdom to us. If this is all we can get in this conference, I have a feeling that maybe the Lord had gained some additional ground. I'd like to read a few verses. This morning we want to continue about the nature of the kingdom people. Praise the Lord. Yeah. The first Adam failed. But praise the Lord for the second Adam. Praise the Lord, we can have the nature of the kingdom people. And let's read quickly in Hebrews chapter 2, in verses 1 to 4. I will read. Hebrews 2, 1 to 4. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with serious miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. This place says that what we are hearing today is such a great salvation.
Yeah.
Therefore, saints, we should not neglect such a great salvation.
Yeah.
He has promised us he was going to save us to the uttermost.
Mm.
Interestingly, God is not a man. If he promises, then he is able to do it.
Amen.
If he promised he will give us the kingdom, for sure he is able to give us the kingdom. However, we may be the ones who refuse to take the kingdom. So throughout this time of the conference, we should bring our heart to the Lord and pray, Lord, reveal Christ to me. Reveal the kingdom. If that's all we can see, I think we will live here with some joy in our heart that we've met with the Father. Matthew, we're reading this morning. First meeting should be Matthew from 5:1 to 20. The first 12 verses talks about the nature of the people of the kingdom. I like to read again in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 12. Matthew 13, 10 to 12. It says, "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' He answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For who has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him.'" We stop there. When the Lord speaks, he doesn't want to speak to us in parables. He speaks plain word to us. Why? Because he's spirit. And in our spirit, we receive his speaking, and it's very clear. Today and the rest of the days of the conference, we pray that we do not hear God's word as parables. In Matthew chapter 5, as he was about to start his ministry, he called his disciples. If you read it, it says they were on the seashore, but he took them to the mountaintop. He took them to the Spirit so that he can open, he said, and he taught them. I pray that whenever we come to the Word of God, we don't see His Word as parables. Yeah. Here he says, the disciples were asking, "How come you love us so much? Yeah? You spoke to us about Matthew chapter 5 in April. You spoke to us about Matthew chapter 5 in July, right? And now you're speaking to us again about Matthew chapter 5, right?" Praise the Lord. Our God is a wonderful God. And he's also the God that keeps making it very clear to us. So today, we like to move a little bit. The first one says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." As I was reading this again and again and again, sometimes the first impression needs to get deeper. Maybe that's why he speaks again. To be poor in spirit, it's so very important. You know why? Because the spirit is the innermost being. And to have this nature of the kingdom people, he starts from the innermost being, from the spirit. And to be poor in spirit, it's not just to be humble, because that's the first impression we tend to have. It also means to be emptied, to be unloaded. Interestingly, much more in spiritual things. So many times in our nature, because we crave so much for knowledge, when the Word of God comes, we tend to receive it quickly with the mind. And so it's easy to say, "Oh, but I have heard this before." But to be poor in spirit really means that we should be those who are unloaded, who are emptied. And it's interesting because where do we need to be this empty? In the spirit, in the things of God. When we are poor in spirit, it is easy for God to speak to us. And then we see his word, not as parables, but as living word. And this is God's desire, that in this new nature, he starts from the deepest part of us, our spirit. And that is how, this is where we contact God in our human spirit. This is where this work of the new nature starts. That we are not just humble, but emptied and unloaded. So that he can write every day. You know, no wonder when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, he was also trying to make them poor. Right? They have to depend on him daily. So he gave them manna daily. Today, God wants us to be poor in spirit. Those who depend on him daily. His word has to come to us daily. You know, I was sharing with my boys, and I said, I just realized that in the forest, the lion is the king. And then one of them asked, how does a lion even feel like the king? I also found out that some other animals, like the gazelle, when they are born, as they are dropping, they are actually walking. But when a lion is born, a lion cub, he spends a lot of time with the parents. You know why? Because he has to be king. Spends so much time, years, being trained. And then when you even see a lion cub at that little stage, he walks like a king. God is recovering us. Right from our innermost being. He wants to gain us. And one of the things he wants to do is to make us empty so that he can fill us with himself. This emptiness doesn't come with our nature. Sometimes we need to ask the Lord, Lord, make me empty. David, the psalmist, in Psalm 51, verse 10, we can read this. Psalm 51, 10 and 11. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. We should always have this attitude to ask the Lord to make us poor in spirit, because that's not our nature. I attended one course, and they called it Customer Delight Second Nature. In other words, my first nature is not to make the customer first. But the company wants to make me, give me a second nature to make the customer my delight. So it's not my nature, right? To be humble in our spirit is not our first nature. We shouldn't deceive ourselves. And that's why we need to pray, Lord,
renew my spirit. I want to be humble in the spirit. I read again in Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. Chapter 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to work in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Yeah. The first heart, the first spirit cannot do it. It is God's own spirit that will do it in us. So when you are having problem, like we do once in a while or most of the time, we can pray, Lord, I need a new spirit. Give me the spirit that is emptied to receive from you, especially when we come to deal with the Lord. So it's something we don't have, so we need to pray for it. Lord, grant, give me a new spirit. Create in me a new heart, a clean spirit. Next to that, when we have this new spirit, we begin to like what God likes as a kingdom people. And what happens? Just almost close to it. We mourn at what God hates. Because the whole world doesn't like God, our attitude today is not to be one with the world. But we mourn at the things that we see. He said, blessed are those who mourn. When we look around, we will see that mankind, I don't need to tell you, even the youngest in this room can sense that man is anti-God. Everything about man. And these are things that make us to mourn. We mourn. And then as kings, he said, blessed are the meek, because they will inherit the earth. You know, I also realized that in training, a king needs to be meek. If we are training as kings to reign with him, today we need to be meek, right? If we are always trying to claim our right, we may not get the training that we need. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We need to be those who are meek. We do not resist. Because when you're used to resisting man, you may also begin to resist God, right? But the Lord needs us to be meek. This is the nature, because I don't know about you, but meekness is not my nature, right? Very small thing, my first nature wants to come out. But the Lord is training me to be a king. I need to take this nature. It talks about those who hunger for righteousness. While reading through this, I realized that if we really hunger for righteousness, we will desire God in our daily life. Because the whole world is unrighteous. Everything around us is so unrighteous. But when we hunger for righteousness, it will even be easy for us to preach the gospel to our friends, to our colleagues. Why? Because if we can get our friends to to love the Lord, at least our circle of influence will reduce your unrighteousness, isn't it? Because there's so much unrighteousness. There's so much darkness. We should be those who thirst. The psalmist says, as the hare, the bear thirsts after waters, so my heart thirsts after the living God. We should be those who thirst. Can you imagine in this hot summer, and then you've had, maybe you've done like 10 kilometers without water, you're very thirsty. Can you imagine if that is our real situation, that we thirst for God, we thirst for righteousness? We would do everything to gain Christ if we really thirst for him. And blessed are those who thirst after righteousness. And we realize that Christ is our righteousness. So as kings, unfortunately, we thirst for so many things. We thirst for so many things. We thirst for, which is not bad, but maybe we should control the thirst for other things so that the thirst for God will increase. Righteousness is actually to do the right thing. When we thirst after God, we will desire to do the right thing. But you see, for myself, I should thirst after righteousness, to be right, to do God's will. But don't forget that in me, there is no good. So I need Christ as my righteousness. So I thirst after him. But however, how about John, right? What if John is not right to me? What should I do? If John is not right towards me, what should I do? Stephen, what should I do to him? Praise the Lord. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So for us, we have the high standard to thirst after righteousness. But to the brother, we must be merciful. If we don't learn it today, it will be difficult. In my old nature, I like people to be right. I don't know about you, right? And so when you're not right to me, it hurts me, really, right? Sometimes I become very legalistic. You should do this, right? You should do this. You should have done this. Oh, Lord. But in James chapter 2, verses 12. James chapter 2, verse 12. He says, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. This matter of being merciful comes with an immediate price. Blessed are the merciful, for shall obtain mercy. So many times, I think I need mercy. I need you to forgive me, right? But how about me forgiving you? We should know that this is not in our nature. We always want our right. Recently, the Lord is being merciful to me. He's dropping this legalistic nature in me. I used to be very judgmental, even to my wife. I want her to be to this right. Recently, I told her that one of the boys did something, and my being was to accuse. That was, of course, my first nature, right? And then, by his mercy, he stopped me. Because he sent the text. I read it to my wife and I said, this was my immediate reaction. And the Lord just stopped me to seconds. And as I stopped myself, I realized that what I would have even said was wrong. Because the next messages that followed showed how judgmental I am. So you see, in my nature, I demand people to be right, even when I'm not right. If you know that you're not always right, then you should learn to cut some people some slack. This is the nature of the kingdom people. If the church is filled with so much mercy, there'll be so much growth. But we have a lot of expectation on others. Some we don't even have for ourselves. You know, we make so much room for ourselves. But when a saint, just a little, we come in to judge. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This should be our real nature, because that's the nature of the people of the kingdom. You know, he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is a very key point. Today, after the brothers speaking yesterday, the prayer is, Lord, show us the kingdom. Isn't it? How can you see it if you're not pure in heart? Now, when you hear blessed are the pure in heart, Aaron, you think to be pure in heart is to be holy, right? Somehow, right? Mm-hmm. But you're not holy, so how can you see God? Eh? Through the Holy Spirit. Okay. So how is he going to show it to you? In a cinema? Or? I realize that to be pure in heart means to be single. Today, I'm sorry to say this, why we don't hear God speak to us is that we're very busy. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of activity. Saints, it is not rocket science. Sometimes I used to make a joke to my boys when they wear this, what they call it, earpiece, yeah? I said, when you wear this so much, how would you even know when God is talking to you? Sometimes they're in the house and they wear these things. And then you press the bell, they're not hearing. You know, this is actually how we are as Christians. There's so much noise. There's so much activity in our heart. How can you hear God? So day after day, week after week, month after month, you've not heard your father speak to you. I don't want to ask, but I wish you would ask yourself, when last did you hear God speak to you? Believe me, you will not hear if there are so much noise. To be pure in heart means to be single. You desire God so much. You know, to be poor in spirit, right? Then the next place is the heart, right? We receive the Lord as a spirit, right? Aaron, right? Spirit. But then he has to grow. Right? You receive him in the spirit and you lock him in there. He cannot grow. Do you know why I know the heart is where we grow? Let's read. It says in Matthew 13, we read this place yesterday, but in Matthew 13, verse 19, I start from 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown where? No. In the spirit, right? The growth we are expecting is the growth where the seed is sown. When there is, if you read that parable very well, in one of the sowing fell by the wayside. What happens to the wayside? The birds will come and pick it up. And the next one, it was sown among thorns. Right? That's the heart with thorns. It wants to grow. It chokes it. There's a lot of things going on in our heart. So you can't hear God. The other one has shallow sand. So quickly it sprouts up, just like the message. You hear something, you're so excited. But you don't go back to take it to the Lord. It is when you go back and take it to the Lord, then it will become your own hearing. You will hear it yourself. It is no longer what the brother spoke. To be pure in heart means that our heart is single for God. I'd like to read a few verses. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. We know so many verses that speaks about this, but I just want to read this. It says, but from there you will seek the Lord, your God. And what? You will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now we are beginning to see the problem, right? Assuming your heart is made up of so many partitions, right? This is for video game. This is for, you know all the things, I don't know, right? But when it's so busy like this, the Lord promised, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with the whole heart. Let's do an experiment, especially the young people. Let us decide to seek God with the whole heart. And let us see if we can find him. Let's take a challenge. Sarah, yeah? We seek him with the whole heart. Because he promised it. He said, you will surely find me when you seek me with a whole heart. You know why we have not found him? Mm-hmm. Yet. Or that much. It's because of the space we're using, we're not using the whole heart. We're just using some part of it. This is the biggest problem we have. And so we go day by day, week by week. We've not heard God. How do you feel? If God be God, then let's seek him, saints. It's not neat being half and half, right? Let's seek him. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with the whole heart. Amen. Then the peacemakers say they shall be called the sons of God. When he was born, the angels, they were singing, said, unto earth, peace be men to men of goodwill. And he's called the Prince of Peace. They say Islam is a religion of peace, but it's so full of war. That's hypocrisy. It's lies. God is the God of peace. So when we have God in us, what do? We have peace. And this peace is real. It's not a teaching. You know what takes away our peace? Anxiety. You know what anxiety means? You doubt God. Because your problem is too big for you. So you're worried. To trust God is actually to have peace. When we are so full of peace, people will call us, blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called. When you are so quarrelsome, very, very an agitated person, very anxious, pursuing what the whole world is pursuing, you lose out on peace. Because God is peaceful. You know, anytime I talk about this, I have this picture in my mind. You know, when the boat was being troubled, you know where Jesus Christ was? And this one lives in us. And the Bible says, but who is he even by worrying? Yeah? Let's worry a little bit, right? I used to do like this. When I have things bothering me, I will not even sleep. I want to crack it. You know, you want to crack the code, right? I want to solve it. No, you can't solve it. Trust me. You need peace. You need a Prince of Peace, like we saw yesterday. That's what he was called. Even Isaiah never knew. He never saw him, but the Lord revealed it to him. He shall be called the Prince of Peace. But today the world is without peace because they have locked the author, the Prince of Peace, out. The unfortunate thing is that some of us today, even though we are Christians, we love the Lord, we are saints, we're so anxious, we're so agitated. The enemy deliberately fills our mind with these things. But the nature of the kingdom people are those who trust in the living God. Amen. Because he is the Prince of Peace. And when we are those who live that kind of life, you know what the Bible says? We shall be called sons of God. Amen. And then to be persecuted. Of course, when you have this nature, you will definitely be persecuted. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's different from the world. You will be persecuted, right? But make sure when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Like Daniel, you know? What he did? There's no way we will find a fault with these guys, right? Except if it has to do with their God. Let that be our own testimony. When they want to persecute us, when they look for everywhere, saints, even in the office. May the Lord help us so that we will experience this nature, which actually is His nature from within us. And then if we have this nature, from 13 and 16, we will influence our environment. He says, we will become the salt of the earth. You know? We will become the light because there's darkness everywhere. When we are illuminaries, right? When we enter into darkness, what happens? There's light. This is the nature we carry produces the salt and is natural. It produces the light when there is darkness. Pray that your friends will see this light in you. If we don't have this nature, it will be difficult to affect our environment. Your friends, you're the same thing like them. Right? It says, if the salt loses its taste, with what would it be salting again? You're just like sand. That's why with your friends, there's no influence. Young people, there are certain things your friends should tell you that will help you to know what influence you have made in those your friends. If your friends can freely invite you to sinful things, it means that you're not salt yet. There are situations when your friends want to say something. He said, oh no, if it's Emmanuel, he's not going to join us. Right? Right? Why? They already know. When they are saying something that is not good, right? And then you walk in, then you should be happy. Yeah. You're influencing them for good. But if they're free to live that their life where you are, that's a big warning for you. You have not sorted that environment. You have not become light in that darkness. Bible says whenever light comes, darkness disappears. How come when you come, the darkness is still there? Something is wrong with the nature. The nature of light is not shining, right? And the salt has become sand. Yeah, it talks about 16 to 20, talks about some of the laws of the kingdom. He says, I didn't come to annul the law, but to fulfill it. I need to read just a few verses and we're done. In Romans chapter 10, 1 to 4. Verses 1 to 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. He came to fulfill it. It was necessary that he should fulfill it. And then we would take him as our righteousness. In so many places he says, if you do your best to keep 9 of them and fail 1, you are still liable to the law because it's 10. You should keep 10, right? So when we could not keep it, it was necessary for one to come and keep it for us so that we can take him on. And with the nature of those who are in the kingdom, we can take him in as our second nature. Imagine yourself if Christ really becomes our second nature. The one who fulfilled the law lives in us and wants to permeate our entire being, starting from the innermost, the spirit, flowing through our heart, growing, then we can have the nature of God. Praise the Lord.